Sonia shared a word earlier in the service too that I really took note of, and I really thank the Lord for that word as well. I think there is something that the Lord wants us to engage, and it requires a certain energy, a certain attitude. And unfortunately, I think maybe it's a New England thing, maybe it's a Boston thing. We tend to be very subdued. We don't tend to be excited Christians. We're like, yeah, praise the Lord. You know, nothing wrong with that, by the way. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm just going on what the Lord said through these words, that we need to engage him with a certain excitement, a certain energy. And that liberates us. That liberates us. It's medicine for your soul. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'll take some medicine any day. I'll take some medicine, some spiritual vitamin D for my soul. Amen? So now, church, I'd like to invite you to our word for today. Pastor Stephen and I were talking last night as we were planning the service, reflecting on what we sense the Lord would like to do. Today's message will not be a full, like typical sermon, but rather what I would call a short meditation according to my standard. Not according to what it means to have a short meditation, but according to what I would do, it will be short. But it will allow us more time at the end of it to go into some time of prayer and of praise. And I'd like to use this moment in the Word to stir in you the desire to worship the Lord and to praise him and to go into some time of intercession and some time of petition. Can we do that, church?
Yes.
So without further ado, I'd like to... my subject today is come up higher. Come up higher. And I have a text that I shared during our joint leadership meeting on Friday. And I was talking to Stephen, and he said, you know, I think it would be great for you to share this word again during the service. And I thought about it, prayed about it, and I sensed, okay, well, there is a way I could share it that would be edifying to all of us. So the text is found in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. If you're able, I'd like to invite you to please stand with me as we read this together. Revelation 4, 1. I believe this is being read from the New International Version. We can, if you're ready, we can start right now. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Father, once again, I pray that your Holy Spirit will use me to edify your people, Lord God, that you put away every distraction, that you allow your word to flow, and that, Lord, it would stir in all of us the desire to go into higher praise, deeper worship, more longing for you, and that, Lord, you would bless the time after it, because we want to be in your presence, Lord. We thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So, church, as we now bring this 7-day fast to a close. Some of us are not necessarily going to stop fasting, but at least what was announced is coming to a close today. I thought I would share with you something that would stir your heart towards more longing for God. You have to appreciate there is something about ascending that gives the human soul a certain excitement. There is something about lifting, being lifted up, coming upwards, that excites us to the degree that people are fascinated by mountains. If you've been to the center part of this country, you would appreciate the what they call the Rocky Mountains. If you're from New England, you probably appreciate the hills of New Hampshire. You probably appreciate around here what we call the Blue Hills. But you know, what's interesting about going up higher is that to go up higher, to come up higher, you get new perspectives. You get new sight. You get a new line of sight. So I want to spend a little bit of time to help you appreciate what it means to come up higher. In this text, the Apostle John was given first the revelation about the seven churches at first, and then it was he was in the spirit. That's what the text says in chapter 1. While I was in the spirit of the Lord said, write these things down to the seven churches. And while he was still in the spirit of God says, come up higher. I don't know about you, sometimes we can be in the presence of God, and this is the message that Sonia shared earlier. Sometimes you can already be in the presence of God and yet need to ascend a little higher. And this morning, I want you to know that what the Lord's been sharing with us as a church, what the Lord's been communicating to us is that there is more. There is more in his presence for you. There is more excitement for you. There is more for you to see. There is more for you to experience. There is more for you to gain in his presence. Therefore, now he's saying, even though you've been in my presence, even though you know what it means to sing, even though you know what it means to praise, I want you to come up higher. So the Apostle John has experienced what it means to be in the presence of God and yet be called up higher. So you too this morning, our community this morning is being tasked with the same thing, is being called upon for the same reason. Yes, we are in the presence of God. The presence of God is here, but God is saying, come up a little bit higher. Church, to ascend or come up higher is to find yourself strangely detached from the external pressures of life. And also, as you are detaching yourself from the external pressures of life, you find yourself also in the presence of God at the same time. Those of us who will ascend higher are those who've learned to detach themselves from the pressures of life. John, by the way, in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John was in jail. The Apostle John was not only in jail, he was in jail on an island. He was isolated. And yet, he understood, he experienced what it meant to be isolated and yet detach himself from the pressures of life and ascend higher because God was calling him higher. I'm here talking to somebody to tell you that in the season of fasting, that higher is calling. Higher is calling. None of life's restrictions, church, seem to have any bearing on what you're experiencing when you are called up higher. None of it. No matter your circumstances, when you go up higher, you will find yourself baptized. There's a river right behind us. Why don't I just use that as an imagery? You will find yourself baptized into a river of peace and tranquility. That's what happens to you when you go up higher. You will experience things that only the higher dimension provides. You become so God conscious that the pressures of life seem far away. It's not that the pressures go away, but they seem far away because you start losing, they start losing their grip on you. See, even though these pressures are around you, even though they are as real as they can be, higher and it makes them lose their grip. They make them lose their grip on you. So come up higher, church. Come up higher. Come up higher is not denying the reality that's around you. No. To come up higher is not denying the fact that John was still in jail, the fact that he was isolated on an island in Patmos. It's not that. But to come up higher means to ascend and to arrive at a greater reality. You're not denying your reality, but you are arriving and landing at a greater one. That's what it means to come up higher. So God is saying, come up a little higher. Come up a little higher in 2025. So now you might say, well, of course, that's great. That's exciting. You're telling me to come up a little higher. But what are some of the benefits? What do I gain by coming up higher? You see, every now and then when I get a chance, I want to feel athletic. I climb the Blue Hills. It's not much, by the way, but you know, it's an achievement. I climb the Blue Hills, and what I see is that the Blue Hills give me the ability to see miles out. I don't know if you've ever done that, but you turn around and then you could see Boston, you could see Needham, you can see all kinds of stuff around you that you weren't able to see, but just by staying at your level. So see, church, and here's the lesson: the higher you go, the farther you see. And the more you can see. The higher you go, The farther you see and the more you are able to see. And that's why God is calling us higher, because you see, that deliverance you experienced last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, God wants you to come up higher because he wants to give you a new testimony. You see, you only saw at that level because you only experienced that thing about God. But God is saying there is more to experience about me. Therefore, you got to come up higher to experience it. The higher you go, the farther you see, and then the more that you can see. So church, for John, you could see, well, what are some of the benefits for the Apostle John, since we're preaching from Revelation chapter 4, verse 1? There are three of them. I mean, I like three. There are a lot more, because three is something that you would probably remember. There are three I'll probably highlight for you right now. Number one, for the Apostle John, coming up higher gave him new perspective. To come up higher, it means that you will gain new perspective. Number two, to come up higher, it means that you will be able to see the path forward. And number three, to come up higher means you will partake in fellowship with the Lord. The three benefits real quick from not only from the Apostle John, but also for you in your own life as you're being called up higher, that you can experience when God calls you higher. You, number one, you will gain new perspectives. Number two, you will see the path forward. And number three, you will partake in divine fellowship. Well, let's look at number one, to gain new perspective. See, to gain new perspective, it means that you get to see things you've not seen before. Not all that you see right now is all that there is to see. And in order for you to see them, you gotta go up higher. You see, that's what God wants us to be reminded of. And that's why he calls us higher, because there is more to see. You are able to see things you've not seen before. You see, you know, sometimes, church, sometimes we get too close to life to be able to see it clearly. Sometimes we get so engulfed in our own things that we get in our own way because we're so close to something. Sometimes it takes for you not just to take a step back, but what God is telling you, what you need is not just for you to take a step back so you can see things clearly, but for you to ascend higher so you can see things clearly. So you get so close to it, you miss the reality of it, but God has to elevate you so that he can elevate your sight of it. When we need, so church, what we need in our own spiritual walk, what I've been pushing myself for in this season of fasting is that the Lord would raise my sight, that the Lord will help me push a little higher. I'll give you a quick testimony, real quick. I am not, if you know me, I'm not a militant, by the way. Some people are very militant, like I'm probably the kind of person, if there was more leisure around, that's probably what I would do. I know it may not seem like it, but if you're in my own psyche, if you're in my own heart, that's what I am. That's my design. But every now and then I see in the spirit realm that the Lord is calling me to engage a fight. He's trying to call me up higher, and I'm like, nah, I'm fine at this level. God said, well, take the elevator, go up to this floor. And I'm like, I'm good at that level, Lord. I just took five flights of steps. I'm fine. I'm losing air. I'm already gasping for air, Lord. I'm okay. And the Lord said, no, come up higher. But you know, I've been pushing my spirit also in this season of fasting, and in realizing that I want to push myself like a soldier would. So if you notice, I got a new haircut. This is what they call the military haircut. My wife hates it, but you know, it serves a divine purpose. You know, the moment I told her, but babe, you know, I did it for the Lord. She said, okay, all right. You know, it serves a divine purpose. I said, well, since the Lord is calling me higher, I need to enact in my body the very thing that will push my spirit. It's not just the fasting that I'm doing to push my spirit, but I'm putting myself in military garb. If I had one, if I had camouflage, I would have been wearing them today, but that would have freaked some of you out. but since I don't have it, I decided to engage the military haircut. I said, well, I'll get a military haircut. I will look like a soldier because I'm trying to push my spirit. I'm searching for the Lord. I'm trying to ascend up higher. I'm trying to go up to new heights. You see, you can enact in your body the very thing that your spirit needs. And that's what fasting does. It gives you new perspectives because there are things that are yet to be seen. But here's the other one. The other benefit you get is that you get to see the path forward when you ascend. When you climb up higher, you get to see the path forward. I remember climbing the hills, and then all suddenly, when we got to probably the very top, it's not that high, and I looked around, somebody said, wow, look how much more is visible from up here compared to down there. Look how much more is visible. There's so much more that's visible to you. And all suddenly now we could see the path forward. If you've ever gotten lost and you're in the middle of the woods, by the way, and your phone doesn't work, one of the surest ways they always say you can find your way out is find a hill and then look around. Because very likely, if you can climb up higher, and some people, they can't climb hills, they climb trees. And the moment you climb up higher, you can look around and you see, oh, no, we're going in the wrong direction. The path forward is over there. Yeah. That's what climbing up higher gives you. Not only it helps you gain new perspective, but it also helps you see the path forward. But here's the third one. Climbing up higher helps you partake in fellowship with the Lord. We didn't read this, but right after verse 1, the beginning of verse 2, it says, suddenly, I was caught in the Spirit. Suddenly, I was caught in the Spirit. See, climbing up higher has a suddenly to it. Because when you climb up higher, the Lord has a way of sneaking up on you. He doesn't tell you at which altitude he'll catch you, but he will catch you. When you climb up higher, at some point you meet the Lord. You meet the Lord. He will meet you somehow, somewhere. And that's what I love about it, because the Lord is calling us to climb up higher, not because we could do that on our own. It's because he wants us to experience him. He wants us to experience him better. Our sister Beth earlier shared in the service about the testimony that she shared was, yes, the Lord that we serve comes down. He comes down to take hold of us. He comes down to take hold of us. And that's the beauty of Christianity. And we're celebrating that. May I add one chapter to that great anthology? May I add one stanza to that great hymn that Beth was singing earlier? That the Lord would come down. That's the secret of Christianity, that the Lord has come down to be with us. Guess what? The other chapter says the Lord comes down to be with us so that he might take us up. He comes down so he might elevate us. He comes down so that where you are doesn't have to be where you will always be. Yes. That's what the Lord gives. That's what the Lord does. That's why he calls us higher. That's the fellowship he offers us. So the Lord says come up higher because there are three benefits, at least three benefits. The Apostle John had them. We can get them. We'll gain new perspectives. We'll see the path forward. And then we will partake in fellowship. And then to bring this home, I'd like to now talk to you about how then do we climb up higher? It's one thing to receive an imperative in a text that says to do something. It's another thing now to know how to do it. Now, Revelation 4, verse 1, John was told, come up higher. But now how do we come up? Is there a staircase, Lord? Will I see the staircase? Is there an elevator? Will I see it? Is it well defined? What do I do? Which step do I take? Which foot do I put forward? How then, Lord, do I come up higher? I will take a little bit of time to talk about that and give you two examples that I see in Scripture where the people of God go up higher. Number one is an example from the Apostle Paul. And then number two is an example from the children of Israel. But before we go there, how do we practice ascent? Meaning, how do we practice going up higher? In the Scriptures, Psalm 27 verse 4, I was looking at that this morning. Psalm 27 verse 4 says this, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Guess what, church? You need to cultivate and stir up the desire to ascend. If you want to go up higher, that's the beginning of it. If you want to climb higher, if you want to go up higher, you need to develop, you need to cultivate, you need to stir that desire in your own heart. You need to want to go up higher. Not everybody who's been called to go higher really wants to go higher, but the Lord says, if you ever going to go higher, you got to want to go. You got to want to go higher. One thing I ask the Lord is that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Those who are called to go higher first develop the desire to go higher. But how then? Well, these are the two examples I want to give you. Once you have that desire stirred in your heart, and that's my prayer, that even now as I'm speaking, that the Lord will stir in you, in your heart, in your soul, the desire to want to be with him in worship, in prayer, in adoration, in exaltation, that we will ignite in our community, in this room today, the desire to be with him, to long for him, to call on his name. That's the sort of stirring that the Lord wants us to have. That's the sort of desire he wants us to have. And here's the first example, church. As this is being stirred in you, Acts 16, verse 22 to 25. I'll read it real quick to you. This is a story about the Apostle Paul and Silas in the middle of ministering to a crowd. It says the crowd. Now, Paul, here's the backstory real quick. Paul was ministering and there was a young woman with an evil spirit. And at some point, the Spirit of the Lord, or Paul's spirit got irritated by the fact that that young woman was demon-possessed. And Paul turned around and cast the demon out of her. And as a result of that, because that young woman was a source of income for somebody in town, they raised a mob against Paul and Silas, and they threw these two men in jail. And here is where we find ourselves in verse 22. Now the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commended to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now here's verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, so church, not only when you want to go up higher, you need to develop the desire to go up higher, but the way to go up higher, you need to learn to stir your soul with some praying and some singing. Because the moment you engage the praying and the singing, there is something that happens in the atmosphere that calls on heaven so that as your praises go up, heaven comes down. And that's what happens. They were singing songs of praise. You know, in that verse it says they were singing hymns. They were praying and singing hymns. You know what hymns are? Hymns are the celebration of the Lord. It's when we're singing the praise, when we celebrate the Lord. You celebrate God with your singing. Every time we celebrate God with our singing, we are going up higher. Every time we are elevating the Lord with our words, we are going up higher. Well, if you want to know how to go up higher, learn to sing. You don't have to sing in tune. You don't have to even know the lyrics. Just join. Join with those that are praying and singing. And then as you begin to do that, not only something will be stirred in you, but also heaven will come down. That's the number one way the Apostle Paul is showing us. If you want to go up higher, learn to pray. And also learn to sing hymns. Not any kind of song. Learn to sing hymns. Learn to sing things that exalt the Lord. Learn to sing things that exalt the Lord. God said, well, if you're trying to exalt me, I might as well. Well, since you're trying to exalt me, I might as well bring you up higher so that I can show you more about me so that there is more for you to exalt me about. That's what we need to learn to do. They were singing songs of praise and celebration unto the Lord. And when they do that, when they lifted up some praises to God, the Lord visited their places. But here's the other one as I bring that thing home. The other example, church, is found in a series of psalms. in a series of psalms. In the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms is organized in different kind of sections. But there's one section in it between Psalm 120 and Psalm 134 that's called the Songs of Ascent. The Songs of Ascent. The Songs of Ascent, you know what they were? They were songs that the pilgrims, every time, you know, the children of Israel needed to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices annually. And then since the temple was on a hill, there would be singing songs from the foothill all the way up to the temple. And these were Psalm 120, Psalm 121, Psalm 122, Psalm 123, 124, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 133. And then they will bring it up home at 134. They would do that. That's what the Songs of Ascent are. And I want to take you through a summary of each and every one of them, because that's how we stir up our spirits. That's how we learn to go up higher, because they were going up higher and higher onto a hill until they reached the dwelling place of God, which was the temple. Psalm 120. Psalm 120, church, is a cry for deliverance. It's a cry for deliverance. You see, one way to ascend the hill of the Lord, one way to come up higher, is to go and cry out before God about your needs. There is nothing wrong about presenting petitions before the Lord. There's nothing wrong about interceding on behalf of someone to the Lord. As a matter of fact, as we do that, we honor him. And because we honor him, that's a form of praise. Then we get to go up higher. Psalm 120 is a cry for deliverance. Look at in it, the psalmist cries out to God for help. He was lamenting. He was living, lamenting the living among deceitful and hostile people. And then he was lamenting the fact that he was losing his peace. And as a result, here's what verse 1 says: I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. I don't know about you. I don't know if anybody has any distress they've been going through. If you've got some distress, guess what? You have an opportunity to go up higher. Because the Lord is saying, if you've got them, you can come in my presence, you can present them, and that begins your ascent to his throne. Psalm 121, the summary of that is the Lord is our protector. It's a song of trust in God, who is the ultimate source of help and protection. Look at verse 1. It says, oh, I love this one. You know that one. I lift my eyes to the hills and ask myself, where does my help come from? Oh, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Church, this verse, as a matter of fact, is a great reminder of who God is in your life. God wants you to remind yourself that he is your protector. He's got your back. You see, the psalmist says, I lift my eyes to the hills and ask myself, where does my help come from? But as I come up higher, my mind gets clearer. My memory becomes sharper. Then it dawns on me that my help comes from the Lord. It can't come from any other place. It can't come from anywhere else. My help comes from the Lord. It's the ascent that gave him that new perspective. Yes. As he goes up higher, his perspective gets clearer. His memory gets sharper. His mind is clearer. Church, and surely, it says in verses 5 and 6 of that same psalm, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Oh, that's great promise for everybody. Yeah. As you ascend before the throne of God, that's what you get. As you come up higher, that's the perspective that you get. It's coming up higher that reminds you that the Lord watches over you. How about Psalm 122? Psalm 122 is a joyful psalm. See, when you go up higher, you get to experience some joy. A joyful celebration of going to the house of the Lord. Verse 1, it says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go together to the house of the Lord. You see, in this season of fasting, as I ascend, as you ascend, as she ascends, as he ascends, as we each ascend, as we each climb higher before the presence of the Lord, we get to meet each other up and say, oh, you going too? Oh, you on that journey too? If you're in the Blue Hills, oh, you're on trail, green trail? You're on yellow, I don't know, they got different colors. As you go up higher, you get to encounter those that are on the same journey. Isn't that wonderful? And then it brings joy to you. There's a certain joy that you experience. Psalm 123, it's a plea for mercy. The psalmist in verse 2 says, our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. As you go up higher, it reminds you that there is someone who can have compassion on you. Somebody who always shows mercy towards you. How about 124? 124 says, the Lord is our deliverer. It's a thanksgiving psalm. Verse 8 of 124 says, look, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You see, it's going up higher that gives you that perspective. Psalm 125 is a declaration of trust. Verse 1 of it says, those who trust in the Lord, they are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken. That's an assurance psalm. How about, where was I? Was 126 now. Yeah, thank you. 126 also is about joy. Verse 3 says, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. That's all you get when you keep climbing. You see, I keep climbing, church. How about 127? 127 reminds you of your dependence on God. Verse 1 says, unless the Lord... I lost my notes. The devil is a liar. Verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds this house, those who labor in vain. Psalm 127 is a dependence. So as you go up higher, you realize how much of how much you can't really depend on yourself. How much on God you need to depend, unless the Lord does it. This is total dependence so that I may receive in my... I like Psalm 127. I got to read this because this is for somebody. By the way, this is not in my notes, but it just dropped in my spirit. So Psalm 127, look at that. It's getting good. Job Psalm. Psalm 127, this is for someone. This is for someone, and it's probably for the year. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Oh, I have a word for somebody. You've been toiling and laboring for things, hoping to get results. The Lord says, if you would just trust in me, I will give you that which people toil for and that which people labor for while you sleep. Amen. Oh! The Lord said, you can go to bed. Pull your pillow down. Pull on your covers. Go to sleep because I'm getting ready to do for you that which people toil for. And I'll give it to you while you sleep. Amen. While you sleep. While you sleep. And that's a word for somebody as you go up higher. You got to go up higher to get that perspective. You got to go up higher to realize that the Lord will give to you in your sleep that which the world labors for, that which people lose sleep over, that which people develop diseases over. The Lord says, go to sleep, my daughter. Go to sleep, my son. I will give it to you while you sleep. This is a word for that. You see, you got to keep going higher. How about Psalm 128? Psalm 128 says this. Blessings for the God-fearing one. Psalm 120 is a blessing. When you read Psalm 128, you see that you are blessed. Oh, as you see, it takes people to go up higher to realize how blessed they are. As you go up, as you ascend the hills of the Lord, you realize that I'm not only blessed, but my family is blessed, my children. I'm blessed because God gave me this. I'm blessing my family. I'm blessed inside. I'm blessed out. That's the trajectory of Psalm 128. I won't get a chance to expound on it, but it says, I'm blessed. My children are blessed. My wife is blessed. I mean, we're all blessed. We're a bunch of blessed people, right? That's the perspective you get. Sometimes you lose sight of the blessings that already exist in your life, because you're so caught up in the affairs of this life. And the Lord says, just come up higher. Just come up higher. And you will gain new perspective. You will see things in new light so much so that you will see how blessed you are and you'll begin to celebrate me. How about Psalm 129? Victory over your oppressors. But the Lord has set me free from the cords of the wicked. How about Psalm 130? A cry for forgiveness. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits for the Lord. And in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. If you've been struggling with waiting on a promise of God, guess what? The Lord says, keep coming higher. Because when you come up higher, I'll give you more endurance. I'll give you more ability to wait on me. How about Psalm 131? It's about humility and trust. I like that one too, because it says, I've quieted my soul. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. As you go up higher, you learn to still yourself. You learn to still yourself. Psalm 132, a prayer for God's presence. He said, Lord, remember me. Psalm 133, unity among the believers. That was one theme of the gathering, of the joint leadership gathering. And I like that one too. Verse 1, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And you know what I like about that one? As we keep going up higher, as more of us go up higher, all suddenly now, not only we are so surprised, according to 123, that, oh, you're on that same journey, but also now we begin to enjoy each other's company. Say, oh my gosh, this is delightful. How pleasant it is that you're climbing up higher too. How pleasant it is that the Lord has called on you to come up higher as well. How good and pleasant it is when those who live, when God's people live together in unity. See, church, what creates unity in our midst is nothing but our common destination. We are ascending a hill. Our destination is God. Our destination is fellowship with God. So long as we have the same destination, then unity is made possible. We share the same hope about that destination, and we feel and express the same joy concerning that destination. That's what creates unity in the spirit. And finally, here's the capstone of the songs of ascent. Here's the capstone of these great chapter in the book of songs called the songs of ascent. Psalm 134. It's a call to praise the Lord. It's a final call where the servant of the Lord is saying, well, praise the Lord. Verses 1 and 2 says, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Church, this is the crescendo. And this is where I really would like us to transition to that moment of prayer and praise and adoration. The Lord is saying, come and praise me. Come and praise me. Come and praise me. When you get to ascend on the hill of the Lord, you do nothing but praise him, because there's so much that you've experienced. There's so much goodness. There's so much greatness that you've seen that you can't but praise him. There's so much excitement about the companionship that you experience on the journey and the companionship you experience because of those that also ascend as well. You can't but praise God. There's so much that the Lord offers you, you can't but praise him. That's what the psalmist realizes, that he said, when I ascend onto that hill, I get to a point that all my troubles are behind me, all the difficulties are behind me, all the things that I need to detach from, all the pressures of life, I am able to detach myself from them, so much so that now I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm finally free. I can praise the Lord. I can lift his name. I can exalt his name. I can lose my voice singing for him. When I was in Haiti, we used to raise chicken and rooster. And then we had a big yard, you know, countryside boy, you know. And then the chicken would be running around the yard. And we didn't want to lose them to other neighbors' chicken, because, you know, certain times chicken could look alike, you know. They can resemble each other. It's like, oh, you look like that other chicken's brother. But we had to keep a limit on our chicken. You know what we would used to do? We'd tie a little rope and we'd put a weight at the end of the rope and tie it around the ankle of that chicken. And we say, well, we can let you loose and you can go around and roam around and circle around trees, but you ain't going anywhere because we know you can't fly. Oh, I don't know if anybody's been raising chicken, but I used to do that, and our chicken never escaped. They never escaped. We always ate them at the end of the cycle. But But every now and then, church, there's got to be some smart rooster, some smart chicken who found out that there is something tied around their ankle, and they found a corner and began to scratch that leg, and all suddenly the knot that we put, especially if it was not done properly, would come off, and all suddenly we see that chicken is flying. Say, oh, wait a minute, isn't that my chicken that I was preventing from flying, that I was grounding all the time? All suddenly it's free to fly. Why? Because the weight's been taken off. Yeah. The weight around the ankle has been taken off. The Lord is saying, I'm calling you higher because there is some weight around your ankles. There are certain things that have been holding you down. There are certain things that, yeah, you are able to move about, but you can't ascend. Yes, you are able to circle around, but yet you can't come up. Yet you are able to see at your level, but you can't see higher. But the moment that chain falls off, the moment that ankle is set free, you can fly, baby. You can see. You can climb on trees. You can see things. You can see far. You can get new perspective because you are free. The Lord is freeing us up this morning. The Lord is liberating us up. The Lord is calling us to be stirred up. Be stirred up in the spirit. Be stirred up in our faith and begin to ascend his hills. And as the team comes up, and I'd like to invite the team to come up to please take us to that place. Take us to that dimension again. As we get into that place of yearning and prayer and exaltation of the Lord, let us be stirred up, church. We can gather. I'm just building a bridge right now. I can preach myself happy because the Lord has called us to ascend onto a new hill. You see, we sang it earlier, all the earth will shout your praise. All the earth will shout your praise. Oh, come on. You help me sing it, church. All the earth will shout your praise. These bones break.